Hello and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. I'm Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and this episode is all about a recent antenna project I've been working on. So prior to CQ Worldwide last year, last November, I had a problem with one of the towers. I had to take down the spider beam and all the antennas off that tower, but I still had one good tower and I needed to find a way that I could maybe get all the antennas onto this one tower. So I decided to, for the HF bands, I decided to use an antenna configuration that I've had a bit of success with on 40 meters, which is a two element X beam. And these X beams are quite an interesting antenna. They've got gain, they've got front to back, they've got a relatively low angle of radiation as well if they're mounted at the correct height. And I thought for HF I might be able to stack them in a configuration on the remaining tower, and I needed to do that for 20, 15 and 10 meters. So I did actually manage to build that before CQ Worldwide, but I would describe the construction as being field day style. In other words, it was really a bit of a lash up just to get me on for CQ Worldwide. And I managed to get it finished in time for CQ Worldwide with stacked two element X beams for 20, 15 and 10, all mounted on the tower at various heights to optimize the extra gain you get with stacking an antenna. And all the feed lines, all the matching lines, the phasing lines, it was finished the day before CQ Worldwide. But unfortunately, I found I had a problem with the 80 meter feed line. 80 and 160 meter dipole feed line was open circuit, and as I suspected, it was at the top of the tower. So I wasn't really too keen on taking that all down again. In fact, I couldn't. It was too late in the day to do anything about it. So CQ Worldwide for me then reverted to 40 meters single band, which I actually did with a standard two element X beam, which is electrically rotatable in four directions. And I did quite well on 40. It was okay. It wasn't anything fantastic. I had a problem with local electrical lightning storms. I had to finish the contest about 8 hours early. So that wasn't great, but I think I wound up with around about 1500 QSOs on 40 and maybe close to 100 countries. And yeah, so it was sort of okay, but it was disappointing not to be able to do the all band effort with the X beams. Anyway, once CQ Worldwide was finished, I decided to take the tower down and engineer the X beams in a slightly better fashion. I'd had a chance to check the X beams out after the contest, and I was reasonably happy with the results I was getting. Certainly there was gain, there was front to back, and I was able to work into Europe quite consistently with just 1 watt of CW. So I knew the antenna was sort of working, but I wasn't really too happy with the construction. So I took it all down and that I'll rebuild it, and my goal was to try and get it ready for the Baru contest in early March, which I managed to do. We had some extreme weather here, particularly in February. February was, a record hot month for us. There wasn't a lot of capacity to try and get out there and work during the day. It was a lot of early mornings and some evenings trying to get its antenna finished. But I got it finished in good time, and I found that I try to make things a little bit easier for myself by constructing a spreader system at the top of the tower to support the top three X beams, the 20, 15 and 10 meter X beams at the top. So focusing on the 20 meter beam for a moment, the top of that was at 26 meters. And then these X beams kind of come down in inverted V fashion. They've got an angle of around about 55 degrees in the middle to the vertical. And they slope down, they've got a relay matrix box at the top. And you can switch with the relays, you can switch in four directions from the shack, which is really one of the main advantages with the X-beam. So it has some gain, and I found that by stacking them, certainly when I modeled it in EasyNEC, I found that predictably you're getting around about 3 dB maximum extra gain with the array. But it's probably a little bit, it's a bit deceptive. It's not just really about the 3 dBs. If you have a look at the pattern, what the stacking does, it gets rid of a lot of the high angle lobes from the radiation pattern. It does lower the front main lobe as well. So you're getting more of the energy concentrated where you want it to go. And it's essentially, it's a quite a good low angle radiator when it's mounted at these sorts of heights. So the 20 meter beam, I had the top at 26 meters and had the lower beam at 12.8 meters. And that when it was modeled, that seemed to be the optimum spacing. And that was quite convenient for my tower sections, because whilst the top beam was obviously above the top of the tower with a spreader system, the lower beams were mounted on the different tower sections that telescope up and down. So I just played around a bit trying to find the best combination I could with those restrictions. The 20 meter beam works really well with this spacing. It's a fairly standard feed arrangement, the 50 ohm coax to each beam, same length of 50 ohm coax, 50 ohms going into 75 ohm coax. Each 75 ohm coax section is a quarter of a wavelength, quarter of electrical wavelength. Both those 75 ohm coax feed lines then go into a barrel connector, or T-junction I should say, and the output of the T-junction is back to 50 ohm coax. So that all works fairly well from a feeding point of view. I've not had too many problems with the match on these antennas. Really on 20, 15 and 10 meters, the match is no worse than 1.5 to 1. And in fact, on 20 meters and 15 meters, the match is very close to 1 to 1 on both bands. The only band it's a little bit higher on is 10 meters. And it's probably at a level where it's not really worth me intervening and trying to get the match from 1.5 down to 1 to 1 or whatever. It's a point of diminishing returns. And certainly on 10 meters, I've still got good front to back, good front to side. So, it's like most antennas, you can model as much as you want, but the proof of the antenna is when you actually get on the bands and start using it. And the real proof is when you get on the bands and start using it in a contest, because obviously a contest environment is a little bit more noisy, and you've got a little bit more competition in terms of your signal on the band. So prior to getting this, although I tested the antenna out around about CQ Worldwide time, it was, as I say, just a bit of a lash up. And this arrangement that I had with the spreaders at the top, there was a couple of advantages to that. I had less wires to deal with drooping down the mast and having to spread them out throughout the block of land here, because the top beam was already contained on a set of fiberglass spreaders. In fact, my old spider beam fiberglass spreaders. So that worked fairly well. And I found that whilst I managed to get the antenna up before Brew, I didn't really get much time to check it out or test it. I was busy working on my other receive antennas and making sure the LF antennas were okay and that sort of thing. So really, I didn't get to test this antenna out until the contest started, which was okay. I was reasonably confident in the fact that it was going to work okay. And I think so it proved. The conditions in Baru, the Commonwealth contest last weekend, weren't great. There was a bit of a disturbance. There was a high A index, and the bands kind of sounded messy. They weren't all that clean. I started off on 10 meters. I was working G's straight away on 10 meters. It was okay. And also 15 meters is pretty good for working the G's. And the contest progressed on. Certainly the conditions weren't as good as last year, if I do a direct comparison, but I was happy to end up with a score that was similar to last year's, just very slightly under. So that was a good sign. Whilst I've got the 20 meter beam at the top and obviously the 20 meter beam at the bottom, the other elements are interleaved in between. So I've got the 15 meter beam a little bit under the 20 meter beam at the top, and the 10 meter beam's under that. They're spaced out by probably about a couple of meters between each set of feed points. And then the 10 and 15 meter lower beams are at, they're at about 18 meters on the tower. So there's a sufficient spacing there on 10 and 15 for me to get some gain. And certainly when this is modeled in Easy NEC, it looks pretty good. The gain figures look okay. it isn't actually that spacing isn't that, actually that critical. You know, if you have a look in a lot of the published antenna books that are out there, they're saying really for stacking antennas, you can go anything between half a wavelength and a wavelength spacing, and you'll get varying results. So I had to, in terms of where I could put the lower beams for 10 and 15 and the lower one for 20, I had to really pick a section of tower that it was going to work on with an appropriate spacing. You end up with a lot of wire up there. There's a lot of coax, there's a lot of feed lines, there's control cables to each of the X-beam boxes. So each box has got four relays in there, it's a little matrix, and you can switch them in any direction. One thing I was rather hoping to do was be able to switch different beams, like the 20 meter beam and the 15 meter beam, for instance, in different directions. But I found that that really didn't work in terms of the match, and probably messed up the pattern as well. But it certainly made a real mess of the match, the SWR match to the transmitter. So what I ended up doing was deciding that, and what seemed to work the best, was to switch all the beams together all the time. So if I've got the 20 meter beam on Europe, for example, then the 15 and 10 meter beams are also on Europe. If I try and mix it up and point the 10 and 15 somewhere else, it doesn't really work. Everything's too close together on the tower. Also on the same tower, I've got my 40 meter X beam, which is just under the top stack of beams. That doesn't really seem to be affected. And in fact, I can rotate that in other directions. It doesn't really seem to affect the other HF beams, which is okay. So the 40 meter X beam, which I've been using for quite a while, that's still there and it's still working okay. And certainly worked very well in the contest. And above the stacks, I've got an 80 meter dipole, which is around about, up at around about 27, 28 meters. And then above that, I've got a 160 meter dipole up around about 29 or 29.5 meters above the stacks. And again, that it's hard to say, there's got to be some interaction between these antennas, but it's hard to model it and measure it. The difference may be imperceptible. It may may affect the patterns to a degree. It's not a completely clean tower. It'd be really nice to get the other tower back up again. I can move some of the antennas. I can move some of the LF antennas onto the other tower. I'm certainly hoping to get that tower back up in our winter, when I can get outside and do some fabrication and some welding, because a lot of what I need to do to repair the tower has got to be done essentially in situ. So quite an interesting project. Not everybody's obviously got a support of 26, 27 meters or whatever to do this sort of thing, but you can, of course, scale this back and maybe stack two antennas for 10 meters or two antennas for 15 meters, and it's all proportional. And if you were stacking two antennas for 10 meters, the top antenna might only need to be at around about 13 meters, and the lower antenna might only need to be around about 6 or 7 meters, and it would still work quite well on 10 meters. And you would see some, you certainly see a little bit of extra gain. You'd see a lowering of the front lobe, the angle of radiation, and you'd eliminate a lot of the high angle lobes on the beam. The front to back is not extraordinary on these X beams. The thing with the X beam, and maybe one of the reasons it kind of works well in this application, is because the X beam has got quite a broad front lobe anyway, just the native X beam with no stacking. It's quite broad. And when you stack the two beams together, it narrows the front beam, but because the beam's broad in the first place, it's still quite okay to be able to switch in four directions. There's really not too many dead spots. So, but the front to back's not extraordinary. The front to side's quite good, and it's a useful antenna. One of the main things I found in Beru was that, well, the most useful thing is being able to switch in four directions from the shack, without you having to use the rotator, because quite often in some of these contests, the rotator would just be back and forth as you're working stuff around the globe. But being able to switch it around fairly instantly is great. It helped me a bit with the SO2R in the contest. I've got two radios set up for full SO2R with the two keyboards, and I've got some receive antennas, which I'm probably going to cover in another podcast, the receive antennas. I've been doing quite a bit of work on them, not just beverage antennas, but also beverages on ground or beverages near ground. And also, and the other thing I've been playing around with is loops on ground. And they're an interesting antenna. They've all these antennas have got their they've all got their merits. There's no one perfect receive antenna. And I've got some other antennas down further away from the main transmit antennas, things like extended double zeps and things like that, that I use for receive when I'm doing SO2R. I've got some filtering that I use on those receive antennas as well, some bandpass filtering. And that essentially works pretty well. So I'll cover the receive antennas in another podcast, but I would say that really with the X-beams, it's if you've got the opportunity and you can even just stack, as I say, 2 for 10 meters or 2 for 15 meters, I think it's actually worth doing. And if you can't do that, it's worth having a try with the X-beam simply because you can rotate it in four directions. That's in a contest environment, it's actually worth something because you're a little bit more nimble and you haven't got to keep turning the rotator. It's much easier just to flick that switch. So yes, it's Baru's probably not the greatest example for SO2R. You do use SO2R in Baru because you're trying to pick up bonuses and you're continually looking at other directions. But it's more just a question of convenience, I think. One other thing about the contest, which is quite interesting, was that the conditions on 80 were quite good, which I really didn't expect. I thought the way the bands have been late, the HF bands have been great, and there's not been a lot of stuff on 160. And I've sort of been listening on 80, but the conditions don't seem to have been that good. But I was surprised to find I had an opening to the UK at the UK sunset at around about, I didn't think it was around about 17:30 Zulu, something like that. There was an opening around about 15 to 20 minutes before their sunset, and worked quite a few G's on that opening. And then later on at my sunrise, I also worked some more G's on 80 with good signals, and I worked a VO1 on the long path on 80. So I was pretty happy with the 80 meter performance with the dipole. The 80 meter dipole's up at around about 27 meters, which is a fairly, you know, good height. It's an inverted V dipole. It's nothing extraordinary, but it's it obviously works okay. So yeah, that's just a bit of information about the X-beams. Quite easy to do, but a lot of setting up in terms of the wiring with the phasing lines and the control boxes. So you end up with a lot of wire coming down the tower, and it all takes time. It all takes time to set up and get working. But it's worthwhile having a look at. I probably will be posting some of this information on my Instagram feed. So that's at VK6LW on Instagram. If you take a look on there, you'll find some posts or some videos, some reels of the X beams and some diagrams of what I've got set up. At the moment, I've just drawn something up for 20 meters, but I can follow that up with 15 and 10. But the principle remains the same for 15 and 10 meters in terms of the spacing and the feed lines and that sort of thing. It's all directly proportional. So that's about it for this podcast. As I say, I'll probably do something more on the I've had some interest on the receive antennas and what I'm doing with them and whatever, but it's still really work in progress. I had some success with the beverages on ground and playing around with preamps on those as well. I think that was subject of a previous podcast with Steve VE6WZ. And then I started messing around with the loop on ground, which is another style of antenna really altogether. All of these receive antennas that I've been playing around with, they're really antennas that are very low noise. So it's all about the signal to noise ratio. It's not about necessarily whether or not somebody's, you know, S9 on the meter. It's all about whether or not you can hear that station. And sometimes in the contest that's useful. Maybe Baru's not the best example, but maybe in CQ Worldwide or WPX or whatever, when the bands are absolutely choked, then having a low noise receive antenna can be actually quite useful. Almost acts as a bit of a filter in a way. And it keeps out some of the overall band crud, which sometimes in a contest can be good because the more noise you're having to listen through and the more the more stations are on the band, sometimes the harder it is. So it can get quite tiring. If you can cut down the noise, then might help a little bit to reduce fatigue. Anyway, that's about it for this podcast. 73 is for now from me, Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and of course VK6 Tango in the contest. you can take a look at my feed, my Instagram feed at VK6 Lima Whiskey. Some interesting stuff on there with different antennas that I've been working on over the last 12 months. And any questions, please let me know. You can email through to me at vk6lw.kev@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.